You're perfect, exactly as you are. You don't need to change. There's nothing to do and nowhere to go. It's already here. You're already perfect. Living in Quantum Love with Devra Laval will, in very simple terms, help you to understand that you are not who or what you believe yourself to be. Devra will share her own direct experiences, as well as interviewing enlightened guests who help shed light on our misunderstandings and limited beliefs to reveal the truth that we already are and have never left.
Welcome to Living in Quantum Love. The theme of today's show is the importance of being you. This is Devra Laval, your host, and you're listening to Living in Quantum Love, which is on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Thursday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern, which is 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. Pacific time. This is online or on your mobile device. To learn more, go to dreamvision7radio.com for a full schedule. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for the Omega Institute. So hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Devra Laval, and I'm thrilled to share with you the limitless love that we all are. Now, today's show will be different in that it's going to be more of an open discussion with two of my colleagues and friends, Mark Boyko and J.P. Stevens. Mark was a firefighter for almost 10 years, and Mark majored in educational media and English, and his interest turned to documentary filmmaking. He has produced numerous documentaries. An avid traveler, Mark has devoted himself to various spiritual traditions, along with experiencing their customs, traditions, and rites. He also has submerged himself in the teaching of the great mystics, including Pythagoras. And J.P. has actually been on my show before, interviewed on the PEMF System of Healing. As well, he has co-hosted the show we did on the Dark Night of the Soul. J.P. lives in Canada and has for, 36 years, been a seeker of truth and a spiritual student of many paths that gave him yet another piece to the puzzle of life and our purpose here. Currently, he is practicing the mystical path of the inner light and sound of the divine. J.P. is a facilitator of various health and wellness disciplines since the mid-80s. He was also an accomplished athlete and coach and has a thriving practice as a certified polarity therapist. So let me welcome Mark and JP to this show. Hi, guys. I'm really thrilled to have you on my show today.
Hi, Devra. It's good to have a chance to talk to you like this.
Yeah, it
is. Hey, Devra, I'm here. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, I mentioned at the outset, today's show will be more of an informal discussion centered on the importance of being you. And very often, we are not in touch with the importance of our life and being our authentic self. So let me just take a look at this. I think this is going to be really good, this show, because it's a different angle to it. And this affects our whole life, our whole world, this idea that we are not who we think we are. So let's take a look at that. And it also affects our whole life, everything in our whole life. And there's some beautiful quotes that talk about that we'll be hearing as well. So let me ask you two, why do you think we need to be our authentic self? Why is that important? What does it matter? And why do you think being you is so important?
You want to go first, Mark?
Okay, well, you know, because one of the things that brings up, Deborah, whenever we have this this discussion about this subject, is that the irony and of, and it's not like I wish I knew then what I know now. It's more that, you know, because of the way we've been guided through our educational process and our socialization and all of the things that we're surrounded by from the day we're born, don't really support the idea that we are trying to be the best possible human being we can be on the planet. It's more like our social conditioning and our education system is teaching us to be the best possible carbon unit to fit into the overall plan that industrialization and technology and this modern world seems to have ordained for us. And when people step out of that, then that's when we are starting to contact our authentic selves, and we see it in people like Greta Thunberg today, where the adults have become so staid and so rigidly fixed in their in the boxes that we live in that it takes children, 16-year-olds, that are still more closely connected to source, that are stepping forward and saying, look, world, this is unsustainable. And we as human beings, as actualized human beings, 16 years old, are going to show you adults that you're behaving badly. And I think all of us adults should be embarrassed. No matter how enlightened we think we are, we should be embarrassed by having it put in our face like this, and where the children are reminding us our sole responsibility on this planet is to leave a planet that's habitable for future generations. And we're not doing that. We've done a very bad job.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. And just in light of what you said about the educational system, I know that for me, when I was growing up, I basically believed myself to be doing things. I believe, and I thought that's who I was. I believed what I was told about, you know, who I was and what life was all about and what, you know, the extent of my existence, basically, you know, what was essentially about. Like, I had no clue that I was anything but my name and place and so forth. So for me to be able to, only after many years, begin to question, well, who am I really? If I'm more than just a carbon unit, if I'm more than just a body-mind organism that is going about trying to have, you know, two cars and a white picket fence and 2.5 kids, you know, if I'm more than that, well, who am I? Where do I start? You know, and that's part of what people call a spiritual journey, you know, self-realization, learning to discover their innate greatness rather than just the concepts that we've been fed. And so it takes a lot of work and effort to be able to begin that journey, because in doing that, there's also then the element of, as you say with Greta Thunberg, you know, the young 15, 16-year-old who's, you know, striking from school and taking tens of thousands of kids with her from, was she Norway or someplace? And she's making huge statements to society, saying, wake up, you know, you have to take responsibility for not just yourself, but for us, for everyone else. As the natives say, you know, whatever decisions, you know, we make now are meant to impact or influence seven generations forward, you know, so there's that element as well.
Mm-hmm. Unlike our politicians who work in 4-year terms. And that's, you know, and for me, I agree with you, Stephen, that's been the spiritual path. It wasn't a chosen path because it's brutal. It disrupts your life. It rips things apart. It takes you away from, you know, any kind of sense of security that we had from these traditional sources. But then I believe, like you're saying too, with, you know, your studies in light and sound, that ultimately what it brings to us is a sense of security in ourselves, where, contrary to what the Catholic Church has done for 2,000 years in conditioning people to believe that they're the intermediary between us mere humans and the divine, ultimately we can go inside ourselves and find that source of strength and grounding and realize that we don't need to consult an external source in order to find our place and find out who we really are. That the deeper we go inside, the more we know about the cosmos anyway. I think that's still engraved above the Temple of Apollo at where the Oracle of Delphi worked at Delphi. So, you know, that's what we need to do, know ourselves, and we'll know the cosmos.
That sounds great, Mark. Mark, you've been studying Pythagoras lately, I understand. Could you talk a little bit about these truths that you've understood by reading Pythagoras?
Well, Pythagoras is really he is the most interesting person in our Western history. He was the source of our Western mystic tradition that he compiled through his own travels and educational experiences. He traveled through Egypt and studied in the mystery schools of Egypt. He studied in Babylon. He studied in Alexandria. And he ultimately brought to the West everything we know about philosophy. He coined the term philosophy through his teachers Anaximander and Thales, some of the seven sages of Greece. And his whole idea in education, and this is where we got misled, was because the Catholic Church overpowered the Pythagorean philosophy at about that time, 2,000 years ago. And what he was training people to do, and he taught men and women equally. His wife was a philosopher. His daughters were philosophers that were trained in his own school in Crotone in Italy. And what he taught was that the first 7 years of life prepared you for the next 7 years. That 7 years prepared you to be an adult. And in his concept, if you educate the child, you don't have to discipline the adult. And so all of his training was around us becoming the best possible human beings we could be, not fulfilling some role in society, which would happen organically if we were trained to be the best.
So that actually reminds me. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so the Pythagorean philosophy, unfortunately, was suppressed by the Catholic Church and has been suppressed many times throughout history. But the lineage of mystics that we're talking about going way back, you know, Porphyry, Iamblichus, Isaac Newton, all of these people maintain the Pythagorean lineage of mysticism and knowledge. I'm sorry, that's all I had to say there.
Yeah, no, that's really profound because, you know, when you look at what the school systems are, really doing, it seems that their intention is to create a lot of lemmings, a kind of automaton that will do the basic work that is required for corporations to be able to keep the wheels turning. And I guess as people start to rebel, then what happens is, or resist, or start to think for themselves, what happens is that they end up thinking, well, let's create artificial intelligence, let's create real robots who will do our bidding only because, you know, we're getting too much flack from these humans who aren't willing to, work for nothing and keep their own coffers full. So, the issue, I think, is, as with Greta Thunberg, that young girl, you know, is for us to before we can actually stand up and take up a cause, we have to have a sense of who we are. And one of the things that I recall, having read from the Bhagavad Gita was where Krishna had told Arjuna, that it's better that you do your own dharma or purpose poorly than to do another's dharma well. So just because, let's say, I can do a certain job better than the next guy, it may not be my purpose, it may not be my job. My job might be to do something different that I'm uncomfortable with. But the message is I need to face what I'm really here to learn and to express and do it as best I can, even if it's not perfect. And it's better I do that than try to do someone else's dharma that I perceive them not doing well. Better I let mm-hmm. them do their job in whatever way they do. But again, it comes back to, I think, who am I? What am I really here to do? And then to make a stand, actually get out there and do something.
Hey, Mark. Go ahead.
Well, and that's a good point because, that's exactly what the Pythagorean philosophy was about. And it's even been banned. There was a university in 1816 that banned even teaching the Pythagorean theorem in their university because they didn't want to bring up his name. Every time in history that Pythagorean groups have formed, even Benjamin Franklin was known as the Pythagoras of the New World. And every time he comes up, it's usually associated with a revolutionary action. And a French revolutionary named Sylvain Maréchal in about 1800, he said, all revolutionaries of all times were descendants of Pythagoras. Because Pythagoras said back in his day that inequity will be the downfall of humanity. And so 2,500 years ago, he's warning us of what we're having to deal with right now and why our children, like Greta Thunberg and others now that are showing up, are having to step forward because we've allowed inequity to become the norm, and it is destroying us.
And what do you think, Mark, will take to renew humanity's respect for Mother Earth and all her inhabitants?
Well, like the native said at the gathering we went to about 8 years ago, the International Indigenous Leadership Gathering in Lillooet, they said, it'll be like the third great shake where Mother Earth shakes humans off like fleas from a dog. So it looks like what we're heading towards is a reset. And we're all going to have to learn how to respect Mother Nature because we've created a situation now, again, that the kids are rising up about, that Mother Nature is going to show us what she's capable of. And so, like many of the scientists say, we're no longer in a place of preventing what's about to happen. We've moved into a place where we now have to learn how to adapt.
Yeah, I understand that one of the things that is keeping us down, keeping us ignorant, is the fact that governments and religions alike don't want people who are critical thinkers. They don't want people who question. They want to be left unaccountable. They want to be able to go about their business behind closed doors, and they really do not appreciate people who actually question their motives, their actions, because they are now being held accountable. They would much rather have people being brought up through the system who just do what they're told and are basically supported and encouraged to just be peons, to do the job, don't question anything, don't question authority, just do your job and we'll supposedly take care of you and so on and so forth. But the thing, as you're saying, is that, we are all one. We are not living on Mother Earth. We are Mother Earth. It was a great video I remember seeing once, and this one of the segments in it was this woman, female shaman, in New Mexico, and this woman came up to her and asked her, "How can I help heal Mother Earth?" And the shaman said to her, "Don't worry about Mother Earth. Heal yourself first."
Well, that's a good lesson, and that's where we have to start. And I don't understand, Stephen, what amazes me is that this very small, that Greta points her finger at all the time, this very small percentage of the global population that's become stupidly wealthy, and And then all of this money sits in various bank accounts and hidden in offshore accounts and whatever, like little tumors all over the planet, blocking this flow of energy in human society. And, you know, what do they think? That for us normal people or just basic people, we look around and we think, yeah, we need air, good water, good food. What do they think? That if they have all the money and all the toys, this level of sociopathy is, I think, what we're fighting against. And I think that's what the kids are recognizing, that there's a complete level of inactivity. Even as Stephen Hawking said, if it wasn't for greed and stupidity, humanity might survive. And Greta is taking that into action, where the kids are rising up. And like you say, yes, we're conditioned into believing that we just are cogs in the wheel. But Greta's saying, no, we're not cogs in the wheel. We're going to show you that change is possible. And I think as older people, all we can do is support that action.
Yeah, actually, it was an interesting, there was a guy called Paul Harvey, and this was about 20 years ago, and he had a real radio show, and he would say, and now you're going to hear the rest of the story. Well, one of the things he did mention, which was, again, about 20 years ago, he said that if he took all the money in the world at that time and distributed it evenly between every man, woman, and child around the whole globe, each person would have $7 million. Mm. However, within a couple of years, it would probably go right back to the top 1% having the bulk of the money, and everyone else, you know, just, you know, going along with whatever the status quo is currently. You know, there is some sort of mindset, you know, where people who come into large sums of money just squander it, and they just can't seem to have the wherewithal to be able to make the best of it. You know, and so there is some mindset that has to be overcome, because there's a belief system, obviously, that, you know, there's certain ways of looking at money and what it means. It's not balanced, not in the least. But let me just pass this back to Deb.
I guess we'll be taking a short commercial break now. Now, to find out more about my guest, Mark Wakel has a YouTube channel with many of his documentaries there for your viewing pleasure, and I happen to be in the one titled Gnosis. And JP can be reached at www.wellness.nerium.com or at 604-603-5477. And Mark's YouTube channel is Traveler 2Ls891. I invite you to write with any questions, requests, or comments. Simply write to me at info@deborahlavelle.com. I also invite anyone who's interested in helping me create a feature film based on my first book to please visit my Patreon homepage to find out about all the great and beneficial projects that are planned. If you feel inspired to, you can donate as little as $1, $5, or $20 or more, and you'll receive some amazing gifts in return. Just visit patreon.com/Deborah Lavelle. Stay tuned.
Without you in my life.
Male or female, we all age and would love to look and feel our best. There are ways to sharpen our brains and smooth our skin. Nerium International, through True Botanicals, real science and proven results, have created a holistic line of anti-aging products for skin, body, and mind, holistically reversing and preventing the aging process. For a free sample, go to wellness.nerium.com and call and text Stephen at 1-604-603-5477.
If the challenges of these times we're in are weighing on you and you feel disillusioned and not supported, even after years of personal growth work and spiritual practices, then working privately with spiritual coach Deborah Lavelle will give you the insights, perspectives, and tools to navigate through the challenges. So to become more grounded in the love that you already are, write to Deborah at info@deborahlavelle.com. Are you suffering with pain? Do you have concerns about your bones? Or are you trying to slow down the aging process? Then listen up. Dr. Oz said this is the future of medicine. pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. To find out more about a natural way to help the body heal itself, contact JP at 604-603-5477 or go to Devra Laval's homepage and click on the link to his website.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With a 40-year track record, pioneering holistic studies, and helping more than a million people find a deeper sense of purpose, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for an integrated approach to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone, to Living in Quantum Love here on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, heard every Thursday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 1 a.m. and 1 p.m. Pacific. Today's show title is The Importance of Being You. Hello again to my guests, Mark Blaiko and J.P. Stevens.
Hello, Deborah.
Hi there. Hi, guys. Mark, you're a contrarian, a critical thinker, and a voice for those who are lost. Who are you? Are your main inspirations Pythagoras at this point, or is there any others?
You know, that's I love that because it's so almost impossible. You know, like I was saying earlier, you know, on this path, and you and I've talked about this, that along the way, it rips your life apart at different times, and it's done that. And so I think to point to a single individual, and again, I guess it's what we're talking about earlier, is that one of the parts that has evolved along with learning more and more and trying to get out of the social condition. I feel like the first 30 years was spent just undoing all of the social conditioning and the education that had been imposed. So that was the undoing part. And once that had unraveled, and with all the various life disruptions that go along with unraveling things and blowing your life up, then I was forced to come back to a place that, because it was all I had was me. And so I had to come back to that place and find the center and the ground again, and then start from there. So I feel like the real spiritual journey in my life has only occurred in maybe the last 20 years, because that was the point at which my life blew up. And then I started trying to reassemble things. And thankfully I had an education and I was open mentally, philosophically, to new ideas and new ways of being in the world. So I traveled a lot. Ayahuasca in South America made a big difference and opened up doors that I didn't even know existed. And then the shamanic practices, going to Scotland, you know, visiting Roslyn Chapel and actually seeing the iconography that's built into that chapel by the Templars, and then following that thread back to the Cathars and hiking through the around Montségur through the mountains and realizing that little children and old people had to do that trek as they were Christians as well, but they were Gnostics. And I didn't really know, you know, because our lives in Canada are surrounded by Orthodox religion. I didn't even know earlier in my life that there was such a thing as Gnostic Christianity. And so, and they tell you and teach you to trust the master within. So all of this ultimately kept leading back further and further in time. I got to Hermes Trismegistus, and then from that point, Hermes Trismegistus started to lead forward into Pythagoras' time. And once I encountered Pythagoras, I realized that that was a moment in human history where we could have taken a completely humanitarian approach to the way he was the one that promoted the idea of philosopher kings, that no king should be a king unless they're a philosopher already. So you know, to weigh the benefits of humanity in every decision that's made instead of their own egoistic desires. And that's where we lost it. So Christianity completely bombarded him. Christianity, Roman Catholic Christianity, pushed out the Gnostics, pushed out Pythagoras' philosophies, pushed out everything in their fear and avarice and greed and desire for control to perpetuate the Roman Empire into modern times. For them, it wasn't about spirituality at all. It was about building their empire. And we're seeing it nowadays with the Catholic Church unraveling with pedophilia, sexual abuse of nuns. You know, I mean, if you have an organization that's built on a corrupt core, how can it do anything as it projects itself into the future except become more corrupt?
Unfortunately,
No, I'm just going to say, so that's been my journey into it. It's been a reaction against Orthodox Christianity and an openness to embracing other ways of being.
More away from organized religion to more spiritual, it's more expansive.
Well, more right? Mystic. The mystic
yeah, more
lineage.
Mystical,
that,
yeah.
Yeah. The mystic because, lineage, you know, that's running in parallel to Christianity or to Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah, because you know, there's, unfortunately, I would think most organizations, whatever their ilk, whether it's, you know, religious or political or nature or whatever, you know, they all have their closets, their dark secrets that they keep hidden. And it's not just the organized Christianity, but right across the board. But I think this sort of begs the question, you know, like it might be helpful to gain an operational definition for, you know, being you, you know, being yourself, like what that is, because, you know, I think that for some people they might feel, well, who I am is just a farmer. And who I am is just a husband or a wife or what mother or whatever that is, you know. But in the world, yeah, that's one of the roles that, you know, being yourself, you know, being who you are, you know, is. Yes, that's one role. That's one cog in the wheel. But it's not who your authentic self is. And so what is it that drives us? Now, it's not everyone, you know, but there's a burning desire, there's a longing, there's a something that's painful almost, that keeps us moving forward, asking questions, wanting to know the truth, but not just intellectually, but experiencing it, you know, and that's what drove you, I would suspect, you know, to travel and to ask questions and to study and so forth. And the same thing, you know, for me as well, you know, but not everyone has, it seems, that longing, that pain of separation, you know, that keeps them looking for what is greater, what is larger, what is, you know, the truth, let's say. Don't you agree?
I do to a point. And I think, you know, like one of the things that drew me into learning more about Kabbalah was when I read the statement by them that we're pushed forward on the path of pain until the point in our heart awakens and we're drawn by the light. And when I started looking back in my life, I realized how many decisions and changes I'd made in my life because of the painful experiences that preceded them, like you guys talked about, the dark night of the soul. And that's what, you know, the Kabbalists have been talking about, the same thing. We're pushed forward and forced to make changes because of the painful experiences that we're having. But then at some point, you know, we wake up and we go, okay, I don't have to be in a state of pain all the time. I can make different choices and exist in a more divine way of being in the world.
Yeah,
so I think that's where, that's where the change came.
Yeah, it does sound a bit simplistic what you just said, though, because, you know, as I see it, you know, what you're trying to do is to change your thinking to have a different physical experience. Often I find that the physical experiences come from deep-seated conditionings that are not originating from just mind and thought, you know, for instance, someone who's got an addiction, you know, they might say, okay, I'm gonna look at life differently now, and I will just, you know, blah blah blah, and yet they find themselves in the next minute grabbing another, you know, bottle of something or another drug or whatever, and it's almost as though it controls them. So just changing the thinking, you know, might be a good place to start, but there's a lot more at stake here than just, you know, having like Tony Robbins. You know, look at Tony Robbins and where he has this whole idea that, okay, you can manifest your own reality and blah, blah, you know, and so he has 1,000 people coming out paying however much, you know, per person, and then what happens? You know, 5% of the people are successful. 95% are probably going to fail. And then they'll just say, well, I didn't, you know, really put to practice what he taught. Or they never would have made a change by using those practices because they have other lessons to learn from their challenges, from their difficulties. And the 5% that were successful, they would have been successful with or without his courses. You know, there's so much more going on than what just meets the eye. And so just to try to move something around by changing our thoughts, yeah, it's a start, but it's not the whole picture.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not talking about thoughts at all. The Kabbalah doesn't deal with anything material. And so when they're talking about being pushed forward on the path of pain, that's your deepest spiritual pain, your actual disconnection from source, you know, and that's where our, you know, our level of contracted awareness, that we have the ability to reconnect with divine awareness, but we're not, we don't even know it exists. You know, how can we beat ourselves up for not knowing what we didn't know before we learned it is what a lot of people say. And so, yeah, no, their spear, this pain that they talk about, and like I say, Kabbalah doesn't talk about anything in the material world. It's all about these levels of divine light. So as we sensitize ourselves to the various levels of divine light, then our experience, even the physicists nowadays say that human beings are capable of perceiving 1/30,000th of the light spectrum. So that's all we're seeing 1/30,000th of what actually is existing around us, and we're calling that reality. And I think to go back to the mystics throughout history, that's what they've brought our attention back to, you know, where religion said, well, you know, the earth is the center of the cosmos. The mystics went against that at great risk to their lives as well to say, well, let me go deeper into this. And like Pythagoras said, mathematics and numbers are our way of connecting to divinity. And we do that through, in his world, music. And that was one of his main studies, was learning and developing the Western style of music based on numerical ratios that he created, or didn't create, he discovered in his Tetractys, that all of the musical ratios are contained in these 10 points in the Tetractys. And so, you know, this is stuff that I wish I'd have learned this stuff in school, because I would have realized, well, you know, there's a lot more. Like you're saying, the physical world is what we learn about in school. Pythagoras and the mystics teach us about the energetic nature of our being, and again, to trust the master within, not to trust the Tony Robbins or the popes or the teachers or the prime ministers or the president, but to actually learn to trust our own intuition about what feels good and what feels bad and what's good for ourselves and what's good for humanity. And we could only do that, according to Pythagoras again, through an intimate connection with the natural world.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. But and again, not to disparage you know, Tony Robbins specifically, just, you know, that there are a lot of teachings out there that try to keep us engaged in the doing of things in the world, which only distracts us from allowing us to go inside and to have that deeper inner connection and realization of the infinite truths, whether you want to call it the Akashic Records or whatever, that we all have access to, but we can't get there if we're constantly on our cell phones and iPods and doing whatever, you know, watching TV and all these other things. So we will be having a short commercial break coming up. If you wish to contact Mark Boyko, his email is mboiko2@gmail.com, and his YouTube channel is Traveler with two L's, Traveler 891. And I can be reached at sdk@telus.net. Thank you, and see you after the break.
Male or female, we all age and would love to look and feel our best. There are ways to sharpen our brains and smooth our skin. Nerium International, through True Botanicals, real science and proven results, have created a holistic line of anti-aging products for skin, body, and mind, holistically reversing and preventing the aging process. For a free sample, go to wellness.nerium.com and call and text Stephen at 1-604-603-5477.
What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra Laval, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every Thursday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
If the challenges of these times we're in are weighing on you and you feel disillusioned and not supported, even after years of personal growth work and spiritual practices, then working privately with spiritual coach Devra Laval will give you the insights, perspectives, and tools to navigate through the challenges. So to become more grounded in the love that you already are, write to Devra at info@devralaval.com. Are you suffering with pain? Do you have concerns about your bones? Or are you trying to slow down the aging process? Then listen up. Dr. Oz said this is the future of medicine. Pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. To find out more about a natural way to help the body heal itself, contact JP at 604-603-5477 or go to Devra Laval's homepage and click on the link to his website.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Devra Laval on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and you're listening to Living in Quantum Love. And today's topic is the importance of being you. And my guests today are Mark Boyko and J.P. Stevens. So hello, everyone, and welcome back.
Hi.
Happy to have you guys here.
Hey there.
So how can we each pull back the veil of illusion and reveal our true nature that exists in harmony with nature and each other? Like, just whatever comes up.
Well, I think before I break, Deborah, I was just going to finish one little thought there that about, you know, the Pythagorean connection to the natural world, and well, mostly through that time, and it's only been in modern times that we've lost that connection. But with regards to anger, was one of the biggest lessons in my life about how anger is something that we create inside ourselves and project out into the world. That yes, other people can make us or can create a situation that we get angry about, but then we want to blame that person for this anger, and that's where a lot of aggression and conflict come into play in our human world.
Absolutely.
So the Pythagoreans, what they would do is whenever they'd get angry, their obligation, as they were taught, was to go and sit quietly in nature until they reabsorb that anger and then go back and deal with the situation that that they had gotten angry about in the first place. So they were always working from this place of peace and a place of integrity towards themselves and each other. And that's something that would have, that was instilled as part of their school. You couldn't even get into a Pythagorean school unless you had some of those qualities that he saw in you, integrity and studiousness and intelligence. And so he would then take them into the school, and in a Pythagorean school, they weren't even allowed to speak for the first 2 years. They were allowed to listen, and then ultimately they could interact with the master more. But so that's the Pythagorean take, and he, that's a philosophy that was in competition, actually, at one point with Christianity, before the Romans actually appropriated Christianity. There was a man named Apollonius of Tyana that was an itinerant miracle worker traveling around in the same region. They think that he and Christ probably met at one point. And Apollonius was teaching the Pythagorean philosophy, and Jesus was teaching the Gnostic Christianity. And what an amazing world we would have had today had those two philosophies been allowed to exist.
Absolutely.
Together.
Just think of all the children being brought up with that.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of the Romans intervening and deciding that, no, we're going to use Christianity to create our empire.
Mm-hmm. Which we do today in different forms.
That's what we're dealing with today. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. There's, the thing that I find interesting as well is that when you consider, say, the purpose of life, all right, so there's a lot to be said for, the spiritual element where you're being, going down a road where you're asking, okay, well, what's my purpose for being here? Some might say, well, it's to realize your oneness with divinity or to become enlightened or, but for other people, their purpose in life is to have health, or to have a good family, or accumulate money. And when you consider that the purpose of life obviously is going to likely be different for everybody, my sense is that there is this idea that we are here simply to have a physical experience. And to have a physical experience entails everything that we currently see in our world. It's not about judging the experiences as good or bad or preferable or not. It's just an experience. So if someone, says, well, I need to accumulate a zillion dollars, that might be their soul's reason for incarnating into a physical body. Because angels, for instance, can't experience the physical realm. All right. So in order to get into the physical realm, we have to look at some of these ideas as, well, maybe all we need to do is to recognize everyone is here to have their own physical experience of the world. For a young child who is born and dies, after a month, maybe as a soul, their only interest was to have the experience of childbirth and not to have a long life. So is there something wrong with that death? Did somebody do something wrong? No. It was just that soul's need, to have that experience on a physical level. So I think, it always helps to try to get a sense of, well, what is your purpose in life? What is your reason for being here? And then try to extrapolate from that, how you fit into the bigger scheme of things.
Yeah, there's one point in there, though, I think that's very problematic, and that's the idea that, the idea that if your mission in life is to accumulate $1 billion, well, that's part of our learning, that's part of our philosophy, to realize that in accumulating $1 billion, you're a blight on the planet, you have to exploit other people, you have to exploit the natural resources, you have to not care about waste, you have to not care about people's wages, you have to not care about living conditions for, so those are all things that you have to train yourself to not care about, which the sociopaths are very successful. I believe the sociopaths because of the way the capitalistic system works, have risen into positions of power because they greatly desire to have those positions of power, where most people that want to just live, like you're saying, fulfill their jobs, whatever that is, like they say, before enlightenment, you chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. It doesn't matter if you're a mother or a father or a son or a daughter. The enlightenment process doesn't affect the roles that we have to play in society. But in the Pythagorean philosophy, those roles come with responsibility, with integrity, with compassion, and with love. And without those, then yes, the sociopaths can run the world and destroy it to the point that it's at right now.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why many of the teachers, mystics, gurus, and such, always emphasize compassion, love, tolerance. Because if you are going to have just a physical experience here, then at least set the bar high, you know, to have something that'll have the least impact, negative impact on those around you. So that you don't have people abusing the opportunity to be in a physical body.
Yeah, well, like you say, we're also caught up in this do, have, and consume world. You know, even us being here today to do this program, we are part of that world. We're hoping that what we're doing is of benefit and will, you know, help transmit any love and compassion that and knowledge that we might hope to share. But at the same time, we're still broadcasting, there's still radio stations required, there's an internet, there's structure, and you know, so it would be hypocritical for any of us to think that we're not part of that. Yet at the same time, it's so paradoxical right now, because we're part of it, but we're trying to not be part of it.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. There's a lineage of mystical knowledge that runs through the ages that liberates and empowers the individual, but in parallel, there runs literal fundamentalist doctrines that seem to be designed to control the masses for the benefit of the few. And I think because the masses have not been taught to think critically, to question everything, that we as a people accept and allow that top 1% to control the rest of us by blindly accepting the lies and disregarding the truths that mystic and saints have been teaching for millennia. And you're a contrarian. I just want to hear a hit from you on this.
About that?
Yeah, yeah, anything. But yeah, about that.
Well, and that's what, you know, for me, that's what, the first time I realized the church was hypocritical was when I was about 15 years old and I was standing out in Edmonton hitchhiking, and I saw, it was a Sunday, and it was about minus 30 degrees, and all these cars were coming out of this church, and I was, like I said, I was about 15 years old, and every one of them drove by me, just having attended their session about love and compassion and, you know, be kind to your neighbors. Not one person picked me up, and I started thinking as I was watching all these cars drive by, and I thought, well, what kind of religion is that? And it never really rang true. So then, you know, as I start noticing these things and observing these things and the hypocrisy of, you know, going to church on a Sunday and then behaving like a criminal for the rest of the week, it doesn't jive. And so we can only do that by surrendering our control to an external force. But when we look and come in contact with the master within, with our own intuition, the whole mystical approach to life, then I wouldn't even be conscious of that. I would have either just turned and started walking and been secure in the knowledge that I was who I was and that they are the who they are, regardless of the lack of compassion that I felt I was being shown at the time.
Yeah, but you see the thing I see, you know, in that, Mark, is that You know, I've had similar experiences with that as well. But I think, you know, Deborah's second book, it was called Leap to Freedom, Healing Quantum Guilt. And, right. and in that book, the premise essentially is, you know, what if everything that we've been taught about life and who we are has been a lie? And she goes into great detail. You know, it's a brilliant book, Leap mm-hmm. to Freedom. And the thing about that is, again, in line with the critical thinking thing, is that, you know, questioning everything, you know, what if everything that we've been taught is not correct? You know, what if, you know, the religion that we were brought up with, does that really speak to me? Or the political party, does that really express, you know, my values and who I see myself to be? You know, very few people bother to question what they're taught, and they just take it blindly. Sort of like, some people are willing to tell their kid, you know, son, if your wife doesn't do as you tell her, just, you know, beat her with a rod, because it says so right here in the Bible. You know, and it's like, well, no. Right. But the kid believes, you know, because the dad says that's, and he uses the Bible or some other reference, you know, as a way to justify abhorrent behavior. You know, we can't go about our life, you know, with blinders on. We have to question everything, and we have to hold ourselves as well as others accountable. But holding others accountable, you know, is almost a moot point. We have to be accountable. And that's why people like Greta Thunberg and other people who are really, you know, making a stand, they're making their voices heard, you know, because they are holding themselves accountable. They're saying, this is who I am, and this is how I need to participate to make this world a better place.
And exactly. I think that, and it took a crisis for them to come to that too.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Okay, so I just want to thank you both for sharing your experiences and wisdom with us, and I'm so glad we have this time together. So, to reach Mark and to find out about his wonderful work, please visit his YouTube channel, and to speak with JP, he can be reached at sdk@telus.net. Please write to me at info@deveralavelle.com, and I will reply to every one of your questions or Okay, so also, do share this show with whomever you might find beneficial or might benefit from these wonderfully helpful insights from these wonderful men and tools to better understand the world that we live in. This show can be accessed and listened to again in the archives soon. Thank you all for tuning in. Sending you all my love, and this is Deborah Lavelle, and I thank you for listening to us today. Thank you.
Please join Deborah next time as she delves ever deeper into how living in quantum love can free you from the chains of limited concepts we've been taught all our lives. Deborah's personal experiences, along with her enlightened guests, will chip away at what keeps us separate from the truth of who we are. Living in Quantum Love on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, every Thursday at 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Time by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Visit Deborah Lavelle, Master Spiritual Coach, at deborahlavelle.com. That's deborahlavelle.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.